line. Not a chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Right smack dab in the middle of it. Right smack dab in the middle. We are right smack dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. This is your host, George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield Brown is off tonight. We have Dr. Colin Ross tonight. He's an internationally renowned clinician, researcher, author, and lecturer in the field of dissociation and trauma-related disorders. Welcome back to our program, Dr. Ross.
Hi.
You were saying earlier that you can't just use these little quips and these little sayings too loosely, can you?
Well, no. Because the human mind and human life are so complicated.
Yes.
It's hard to be exact, and you got to be careful how you use language and so on. But when I'm training therapists at workshops around the country, I try and boil everything down to basically a combination of science and common sense. Often in the mental health field, there's tons of jargon and all these long words and big theories. I think the more you can boil things down to everyday normal English, the closer you're getting to reality often. So that's just the way I talk professionally and just any day of the week.
What kind of people attend your conferences? Are there real professional psychiatrists and then lay people also?
Well, I have a lot of problems with psychiatrists. I'm a psychiatrist.
Okay.
So I have a lot of problems with the field of psychiatry. I think it's in a serious, serious mess.
Tell us the problems of psychiatry as you have discovered, gradually over a number of years?
Yeah, I had no idea when I went to medical school and first was in psychiatry. I had to observe and learn, observe and learn, observe and learn. Because I didn't go into psychiatry thinking psychiatry is a mess. I just assumed, psychiatry is a branch of medicine. But all the leading medical schools, and there's all these experts from Harvard and everywhere. It took me a long time to figure out a couple of basic things. One is psychiatry right now is dominated by what's called biological psychiatry, which is basically it's all genes, brain disease, abnormal chemicals. And what we have to do is provide medication and psychotherapy, kind of for minor things. Well, I was basically sold that whole model, brain disease, genetics, abnormal chemicals, treat with medication, all the way through my residency. And I was taught what most people believe is true. We've got all these new medications. They're really powerful. They're really effective. And I had to look at the data, read the research literature, look at the summaries, and find out that actually, rather than, say, schizophrenia and bipolar or genetic brain diseases, I wrote a whole book about this, about schizophrenia. When you look at the actual research that's been done and you add up the main studies, the evidence clearly proves that schizophrenia is at most only a little bit genetic. It's mostly caused by something happening in the environment. And so the actual data in the field of psychiatry that's published in mainstream journals disproves what psychiatry in general knows to be true. It's the most odd thing. So if you actually were a real branch of medicine based on real science with a real scientific attitude, you would have to say the evidence is very clear. Mental health problems are at most only a little bit genetic. Same thing with medications. When you look at the actual published studies and when you look at summaries of dozens and dozens and dozens of studies, antipsychotic medications, anti-anxiety, antidepressant, mood stabilizers, they're all only a little bit more effective than placebo. They're not powerful and effective at all, and they have huge side effect problems. So I think psychiatry sold itself and is selling the public a package that's all dressed up to be scientific and based on effective medications, but really it isn't. Really it's anti-scientific.
So So the medicine is a real problem. Is that what you see too? I mean, the LSD was used at one time in treatment. Is that what was happening during the MK Ultra period?
Yeah, the other book that you mentioned called The CIA Doctors.
Yes, sir.
I got into that. This is going to be a light, a little bit long-winded answer to your question here.
Sure, go ahead.
I got into that when I moved down here in 1991. So I wasn't really knowledgeable about or interested in things to do with spies or the CIA. Or basically, I'd watched the James Bond movies, and that was about it. And when I got down here, I started hearing stories from patients with multiple personality disorder about how they, as children, they were taken on military bases into hospitals where there's all this scientific equipment and had all these things done to them, including being given high doses of LSD, being spun around physically, memorization exercises, sensory deprivation and isolation, a whole bunch of different techniques to create new alter personalities, new identities. And I thought, well, that sure sounds hard to believe. So I decided to look into it. And I spent about 8 years, got 15,000 pages of documents from the CIA that actually had been declassified in the 70s. Then went to the medical school library and got dozens and dozens of papers from the 50s, 60s, early 70s from medical journals and pieced together this whole story that's in the CIA doctor's book of all these programs basically designed for creating Manchurian candidates. So the Manchurian candidate, just as in the Manchurian candidate movie, is an artificially created multiple personality. And the whole idea is you've got this new identity that's created that's hidden behind an amnesia barrier. And there's a guy named G.H. Esterbrooks who created and ran these people operationally in the Second World War, who had a lot of correspondence with J. Edgar Hoover that I got from his archives, was very connected into the whole network of different psychiatrists and doctors. He describes you create one of these people through conditioning programs and brainwashing and mind control, and then you call them into the office, and you say, I need to take these papers to Tokyo. And so the guy thinks he's just on a regular, non-classified courier assignment. And then Esterbrooks would say, the moon is clear, which was a hypnotically inserted code word. And that would call out this new identity that had been created. He would then give the classified information to the artificial identity. It would go back inside. The person would have no memory of that. They'd go over to Japan. The guy at the far end would say, oh, no, thanks for the documents. By the way, the moon is clear. The artificial identity would come out, give the classified information, response would be inserted, back he goes. And so the idea is if this guy's captured and interrogated, he can't, the front, out front part of him has no conscious memory of what the actual mission or assignment is. And so this is basically taking what happens naturally to kids when they're in abusive, scary, traumatic families, or when they're in huge natural disasters, or they're living in a country in Africa where half the adults are dying of AIDS. That natural way of coping with trauma, of splitting yourself up into pieces, what the CIA and the military did, and this is all completely documented. None of this
is the Monarch Project part of that? Is that part of the project?
Well, the Monarch Project, I've actually filed Freedom of Information Act requests with the four branches of the military and the CIA, and all I got back was, we have no information responsive to your request. So
on the Monarch, word.
Yeah.
Okay.
So whether there's for sure a whole bunch of other programs like MK Ultra, MK Search, Project Artichoke, Product Bluebird, Project Often, there's a whole bunch of mind control programs that are declassified that were operational up till the early 70s. So to me, it's completely unbelievable that all that stopped in 1973. There have to be ongoing programs.
You know, an example of a possible example of this would be Sirhan. Sirhan.
Yeah,
that, because there was an amnesia part of his, when they interrogated him, he didn't remember much.
I have a chapter on him in my CIA doctor's book. I'm very interested in this case.
Okay, we've got to cut away here for another break, and we'll come back and continue. Thank you very much, Dr. Ross.
Thank you. Ted Anderson from Midas, June 6, 2008, gold, 887, 10-ounce gold coins can be purchased for $9.13, $449.75 for half, $224.88 for quarter. That's $9.13, $449.75, and $222.88. For years, Ron Paul has taken the position to uphold constitutional rights. He's been branded by special interest groups as Dr. No, refusing to bend his values. I can only imagine the pressure applied by Congress as he stands alone for these principles. He has given up a medical career for this. Ron Paul is running for president. The ideas of strong currency, ending the war, defending the Constitution, and protecting civil liberties are catching on. As a thank you, GCNLive.com, Midas Resources, and I would like to send you a free copy of the Ron Paul Family Cookbook. Call 800-686-2237 for your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237. I hope his values are touching your heart as deep as they are mine. That's 800-686-2237. Thanks again for supporting Ron Paul.
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-722-9020. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-722-9020. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now. 1-800-722-9020. 1-800-722-9020.
On September 11th, 2001, the New World Order hijacked our government and began the process of trying to destroy the United States of America. If we, the American citizens, do not intervene immediately, they will succeed. It is time we stand together now and make our voice heard. At RightToRedress.com, we have the solution. We write congressional letters for you and organize powerful campaigns that will get results and hold Congress responsible to the voters and laws of this country. Get our weekly newsletter and join thousands of other patriotic citizens in a collective demand for a new 9/11 investigation, a stop to the North American Union and the collapse of our economy. For less than 5 cents a day, we will provide you with all the tools you need to use your First Amendment rights in a proven and effective way. We need every concerned U.S. citizen to join us and be heard in Washington now. We can take back our government if we all work together. Join us at www.righttoredress.com. That's right to redress.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Welcome back to World Review Commentary. I'm your host, George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield Brown is off tonight. Welcome back, Dr. Ross, to our program. You have the greatest, most comprehensive grasp of this subject I've ever talked to, anyone I've ever talked to.
Well, thanks.
I'm coming out of this, you're coming at this, to this subject and this broad knowledge from a more professional viewpoint. I'm coming from more of a lay viewpoint, see?
Yeah, exactly.
But I understand what you're saying.
By accident.
What's that?
I kind of got into it by accident, by hearing patients tell me these stories and thinking to myself, a little hard to believe, but I'm going to look into it. And the more I looked into it, the more documents I got. In the book, I demonstrate absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt that Manchurian candidates are not a conspiracy theory. They're not somebody's opinion. They are absolutely for real. People have been operational for a long time. It's simply a fact.
Right.
And so I want to make a quick comment on the Monarch program.
Go ahead.
I mentioned that I filed all these Freedom of Information Act requests because I'd heard about the Monarch program from a whole bunch of different patients and people who aren't patients are looking into it. So the question is the Monarch program real? And I think that my answer is it doesn't matter. The Monarch program, the actual name Monarch, could be the actual name of a for real program that exists currently. It could be just an urban legend. or it could be actual disinformation. But it's not really important whether the name Monarch is a natural program. I'll bet you 100% for sure there's currently operational programs like Monarch. Whether their actual name is Monarch or not doesn't really matter in the end. But that we have sophisticated, advanced mind control programs operational today all around the world, I can't prove that, but I'm absolutely convinced it's true. And my angle on it is, I mean, I'm interested just as a from a human rights point of view, as a citizen, from the things that you talk about on your programs.
Yes, sir. We delve into this. We get into it.
But my main thing on it is, since I'm a psychiatrist, is ethics of psychiatry, medical ethics angle on it. Because doing these kinds of experiments on people, and when you read the documents about the experiments that have been done in North America, it's just insane violations of basic human decency, basic human rights, basic medical ethics. And if you're a psychiatrist or psychologist who's running a Manchurian candidate program, you're deliberately creating a mental disorder, which is completely backwards, and obviously a violation of basic Hippocratic oath and so on. So, you know, from a military kind of point of view, you can rationalize and justify, you know, we send guys out in the field to be killed all the time, monkeying around with their minds a little bit for military purposes. You know, you can kind of start building a case why, from a military point of view, this might be necessary or worthwhile. But from a medical ethics point of view, there's absolutely no way. And it's a complete violation of basic human rights. So my idea is that to get this looked at seriously in public and to get some pressure on it, the best way to go at it is from a human rights angle, a medical ethics angle. You know,
yes,
I may be wrong, but that's my, you know.
I think you're right on top of that. Is it what I see today in the minds at large is a certain delusion or deluded mind that does not grasp some of these things readily enough. What is that about?
Well,
if that's a valid assumption.
Well, I deal with my profession, my colleagues all the time, of course, and I publish all the time in psychiatry journals. I've got like 140 papers I've published in professional journals. So
okay.
I'm publishing all the time in mainstream psychiatry journals. But one of my kind of public missions in life is to try and get the dissociative disorders, multiple personality disorder, more recognized by mainstream psychiatry. And there's this big resistance to it from, you know, basically everybody who's in charge of current psychiatry. They just don't want to know about it. They don't believe in it. They poo-poo it.
It's too preposterous, isn't it?
Well, you have to ask yourself, why is there so much resistance to understanding that trauma is a big theme in the mental health field, and people do fragment and dissociate in response to trauma? Why is it, of all the things that go on in the mental health field, why do psychiatrists buck that the hardest? And so I think there's a couple answers. One is psychiatry for 100 years really has been a social force for denying the reality of child sexual abuse and other forms of trauma. From 1897, Freud said, oh, all these stories are just fantasies that never really happened. Women are just making it up. And then we've gone to, well, okay, child physical abuse, sexual abuse happens some, but kind of vague. Then we went to, oh, well, it happens quite a lot, but it's not really relevant to making diagnoses and prescribing medications, which is where we're at now. So in one way or another, psychiatry has been an institution for denying how trauma is very widespread, and it hurts people a lot, and it causes all kinds of anxiety, depression, substance abuse problems, violent acting out. That's just psychiatry's track record. But another thing I figured out from looking into all this mind control stuff is that one of the motives is the contractors are just trying to keep a lid on the fact that they're deliberately creating dissociative disorders on contract to the government. So therefore, they don't want anybody talking about it. They want it kept under the radar. So they have to say, oh, it's rare. It's questionable. Probably if you see it, it's not a real case. And then there's a campaign to discredit professionals who do take it seriously.
I see.
Yeah, you know.
It's sort of tragic, isn't it? I mean, are the very people that are caught up in some of these programs, they themselves are delusional or dissociative? Is that sort of they tend to be those kind of characters too?
Well, I think that being dissociated from yourself is just a common problem, either big or little, affecting many, many people in our culture.
Okay.
So I don't think it's peculiar just to psychiatrists.
It's a human condition in a way, isn't it?
Right.
Because of the culture and the hurting that is done by other people, we traumatize one another, we hurt one another, whatever.
Yeah, I just went to a really, really excellent movie last week called, called Children of Huan Shi. I'm not pronouncing it right, but it's set back in the 30s in China.
Okay.
And it's a real-life story of a guy who actually exists named George Hogg, who was a journalist who got caught up in all the pre-war violence when the Japanese were already on the mainland, and there was a big fight between the nationalists and the communists going on.
Nanking seems to ring a bell with me, the slaughter there.
Right. Yeah,
it was terrible.
Could you just look at all around the globe throughout human history, the suffering and the abuse and the trauma and the murder and the war. Oh, my God. And I just think part of how human beings cope with that in general is this dissociation.
I got you. So yeah, and that's ingrained psychologically at a deep level and electromagnetically in a way, right?
Yeah.
It's like a stream of light is an idea, and it's contagious when it's the wrong idea, the light of darkness in us. Huh?
Yeah, I agree with that, Kevin.
Okay, we'll be right back. Thank you, Doctor.
Would you like to know how you can use water as fuel and laugh at the rising price of gas? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. Gas Freedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns efficiently and provides the energy your car needs. In just 10 minutes, you'll discover exactly how this is possible. This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know. Go to GasFreedom.info. to learn how easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. During the month of June, visit gasfreedom.info and receive $100 off of your order. Turn any car into a hybrid and laugh all the way to the bank. Visit gasfreedom.info. That's gasfreedom.info. Or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. Call today.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Another untold story, here it comes. Another untold story, here it comes. Another untold story that you've not been told from. AnotherUntoldStory.com.
Have you ever heard of the pioneer story in the 1800s called Blood River? Most today have not been told that story, but there was a day everyone was told and told the story of Blood River, at least in South Africa anyway. They were white South African pioneers of Dutch Afrikaner stock called the Boers, 460 of them that had to circle their slow-moving oxen-powered wagon train because they knew they could not outrun Shaka. Shaka was coming with 30,000 bloodthirsty, warring, raping, killing warriors. They were a well-trained, victorious warring tribe called the Zulus, led by a military genius of his own right called Shaka. 30,000 of them against 460. When the battle ended, the river literally ran red with the stain of blood. And when it was all over, 12,000 laid lifeless. 12,000 Zulus, but not one of the 460 were injured. How could this be? How could it happen? Well, it happened that the Boers did something just prior to the battle, something that caused something else to happen in the sky. It's all quite a story. Hear it at AnotherUntoldStory.com. AnotherUntoldStory.com.
For another untold story, go to AnotherUntoldStory.com. 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 AnotherUntoldStory.com.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, along with our guest this evening, Dr. Colin A. Ross. Welcome back to our program, Dr. Ross.
Thanks again.
You have a site, I think it's called www.rossinst.com. That stands for rossinstitute.com, abbreviated, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, you can go there and you can find a lot of your information, your medical papers, scientific papers.
Yeah.
There's a certification program you also have?
Yeah, that's for therapists. But it's basically a training in this therapy method I've developed. You have to do some reading and attend a bunch of lectures, and then you get a certificate basically just saying you've completed the training and have a basic understanding of how that therapy model works.
And then also, are you going to have up on this site your new writings, your aphorisms, and your short stories and things like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
All my books are on either my webpage or Amazon.com.
And okay, so you can go into Amazon, and isn't there another distributor, too, there that I saw on some of the books?
Yeah, well, the name of my own publishing company is Manitou Communications.
Okay, what is that website?
You just go to the Ross Institute website.
Okay. You can find that through the Ross Institute website also.
Right.
Okay. And then you're going to add to that some of these other writings and things?
Yeah, the five recent ones, I just have the kind of pre-print copy. I'll actually receive the books themselves literally in about a couple of weeks. So they're not up on the webpage yet because they're not quite physically out yet.
I see.
And then I also publish books through mainstream publishers as well.
Oh, man, that's good. You're making a difference. Carol Keaton Strayhorn, she's our former controller.
Uh-huh.
Her father was a dean of the School of Law here.
Huh.
Dean Keaton, and he used to say that we ought to try to make a difference before we pass, you know?
Well, that's what I basically believe. I mean, in the end, you can either just leave a positive energy trace or a negative energy trace behind you.
Exactly, because it radiates to others, doesn't it? Isn't the reflections of your life a constant, dynamic thing at the speed of light?
Yeah. There's actually a funny thing I thought of. I don't know if it's like for real physics-wise or anything, but you read these things in physics, and it's all physics is so flippin' complicated and incomprehensible. You know, you obviously can't understand it all, but the basic idea, I'm reading away and reading about the speed of light and relativity and all that stuff, which is interesting but hard to understand. And I noticed something, and then I kind of come back to it, and then I think, oh, wait a minute here. This is mainstream regular physics now. If you're a photon, photons travel at the speed of light, obviously.
Okay.
And they don't have any mass, but they have energy. So it's a little packet of energy zipping around the universe at the speed of light.
Okay.
But according to the theory of relativity, if you take any physical thing and accelerate it up to this towards the speed of light, the closer and closer you get to the speed of light, time starts to slow down.
Yes.
And this is just basic relativity theory. It's not disputed in physics at all.
Okay.
And it's it's very hard to get a physical object to go up to the speed of light, because the faster and faster you go and the closer and closer you get to the speed of light, your mass starts increasing.
Yes, to an infinite amount, almost,
right,
according to the formula.
Right. So then the amount of energy it takes to just bump you that last little couple of miles an hour to the speed of light, you can't actually get there because it takes so much energy because your mass gets so great. But photons don't have any mass, so they travel at the speed of light all the time. And from the point of view of just regular physics, time is standing still for photons.
So I see what you're saying, yeah.
If you can travel at the speed of light,
mm-hmm,
you're immortal. I mean, translating it into more religious language, that's what mainstream physics is saying. If you can travel at the speed of light and you have no mass, you're just pure energy, you are immortal.
Time stops.
You're in eternity.
Well, what you're putting on the table here tonight is very interesting because, you know, there's a field system here of electromagnetic radiation, right?
Right. Which, again, is just mainstream physics.
And we're interacting and interconnected and all these other, you know, facets of that.
That's what I think. I think that there's a real possibility, and we're just kind of creeping our way towards it, of really unifying science and religion in a way that was just inconceivable 100 years ago.
I see.
And that a lot of what's true in physics is going to be just a different way of saying the things that mainstream religion's been saying forever. I think it's just amazingly interesting time to be alive.
There was a man I ran across years ago by the name of Krishnamurti.
Right. Yeah,
he was very interesting because his idea was to come out of these entanglements. See what I mean? You know, his was to come out of in other words, he resigned and disbanded a whole organization he had.
Right.
Because he cast out of the people, said, "Don't believe in me, don't follow me. That's weakness. That's wrong." See.
I'm aware of him a little. I haven't read him a lot. I've read a little, you know, one or two.
Well, I don't subscribe I'm a simple-minded Christian is what,
right,
I sort of describe myself.
Right.
And I don't, you know, beat it over people's head and or anything else, and I don't criticize other people's beliefs. I don't judge at all anymore, and I forgive. That's what I live by.
Good.
And I found that as I got to where I started forgiving myself and others more, I became more objective.
Right.
And I think that's the only way that we can get there, you know.
No, I agree with that.
But anyway, then I went and wrote these little things on my page, but it's not, I mean, I was under the, I'm very naive, you know, I'm a layman, I come at it from a different angle, and it's not that simple, and what you're setting out tonight is very interesting because you're bringing in fact, I look at it holistically, spelled with an H and a W.
Yeah, both, yeah.
And I try to integrate in my own thinking, my own writings, I sort of think about it like that.
Well, that's how I approach trying to set up a treatment model that's, you know, it's based on integration of the whole person and how can we get away from just, here's a diagnosis, here's a drug, to actual healing and integrating and blending. And to do that, you have to have, draw a little from here, a little from there, a little from here, a little from there, because there's so many things in life to draw from.
Do you think the university model of psychology and then the medical psychiatry left out God too much, or was too atheistic in its approach?
Well,
or secular humanism?
Do we have another 3 hours for me to answer?
Okay. You know, hey doctor, you know what I asked a man to give me in the last 2 minutes of the program one time?
Well,
give me the reason for war.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
So I'm good at this.
Problem. Well, I mean, the short answer is yeah. And in this energy fields book that I'm working on,
tell us about that.
Well, it's this whole trying to really lay out in a really hard scientific way how we can start unifying a lot of things that we know in science about energy fields with a lot of spiritual. So it's a way of unifying basic physics and the spiritual in a really practical way that leads to really practical things, not just a whole bunch of theory. But one of the ways I've kind of introduced the line of thinking is talking about reductionism. Reductionism dominates modern science. And it's basically everything boils down to atoms, electrons, just physical forces. There's no real God. There's no real soul. There's no spirit. That's just unscientific, old-fashioned way of talking.
Okay.
And if you can understand everything that's going on with the basic forces of physics, you've got it. There's nothing else to talk about. So there's no life force, there's no God, there's no mind, there's no soul, there's no spirit. That's the position that dominates science today.
Okay.
Sounds like we've got a break coming up.
Yeah, we do. It sounds like secular humanism that Francis Schaeffer set out, and they hate him for saying it.
Yeah. So
they coined that term or that idea. He was a Presbyterian ministry, a minister out of Switzerland.
Right, that's a variation on what I'm talking about. So do we take a break here?
Yes, sir, we'll take a break. Okay. We'll be right back, and we'll finish. Thank you, sir.
Get a grip. It's time to blast your forearms. The armory is the absolute best training device to isolate and strengthen the muscles of the forearm and hand. With the armory, you get the competitive advantage, that iron grip you desire. The armory is patented and was designed specifically to increase your strength while being portable and easy to use. By strengthening your forearms and hands, the armory will help you increase the length of your golf drive, accelerate your pitching speed, add power to your punch. The list goes on and on. When you use the armory, you feel the muscle burn and experience a measurable improvement in your strength. So get a grip and increase your strength. Visit our website at armoryinfo.com today. That's armoryinfo.com. Order your armory today.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
My husband has had lots of blood pressure problems. It would just be really high. The doctor would work with him, and he'd give him some medication for a little while. It would maybe work, and then it wouldn't. And he was going back and forth, and my husband's not the type that he wants to go to the doctor anyway. He'll wait till he is in major problems. So a friend gave us a bottle of Cardivite, and he started on it, and within a very short time, I'm going to say 2 weeks at the most, it was just leveling out. And as long as he's been on these, it has literally saved his life.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Back to the secret truth. I'm George Butler. Welcome back, Dr. Ross.
Yeah, hi.
You put out hope, don't you?
Try. Well, that's the main thing I try and do in therapy. Realistic hope. But let me just pick up where I left off.
Yes, right. Go ahead. Pick up on that.
So, you asked if psychiatrists like left God and soul out. I think gigantically, and that just takes us an inch closer to fascist. Of psychiatry.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm writing about this, thinking about this, and of course I can have my philosophy and my point of view, but what I try to do in therapy often is find what's the logical flaw in the person's thinking. For instance, I work with people who blame themselves for their child abuse all the time. And so it's not too hard to find out what the logical
flaw is. That's common, isn't it? In children.
Very, very common. All the time.
Okay.
So, but here I'm thinking about the godlessness of psychiatry. What's the flaw in the logic? So not just, I don't like that point of view or that doesn't fit with my philosophy. What's the basic flaw in the logic? So I thought about this a long time, and here's what I came up with.
Okay. Okay.
It's this reductionism. So in mainstream science, which psychiatry tries to be part of and tries to copy, the idea is you can't have God, soul, mind, consciousness, spirit, the life force, chi energy, the human aura. None of these things are allowed to exist. They're just old, primitive, superstitious ways of talking. Because in science, everything boils down to four fundamental forces that we know about so far. There could be a couple other ones, but here's the ones we know about so far. We know about the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, gravity, and electromagnetic energy. Those are the four fundamental forces of physics.
Yes, sir.
And so everything boils down, you know, to atoms that boil down to quarks that boil down to these forces. And these are just dead, meaningless forces that grind along like some kind of complicated machine. And you're not allowed to bring in any kind of soul, mind, spirit, consciousness to explain anything. And what we call consciousness, that's just kind of a fuzzy way of talking about the output of the brain. And so everything that goes on in your mind boils down to something going on in your brain. And your brain runs your mind, and you're just another biological machine.
I see.
So if you say, well, the difference between somebody who's alive, like one of us, and something that's dead, like a rock, is that we have a life force in us. From a scientific perspective, mainstream science, that's, you're just bringing in the life force again. That's not science. We don't talk that way around here. You can't even belong to our club if you talk like that. So there's no life force allowed of any kind. If there's no life force allowed, and if everything boils down to these dead, meaningless atoms,
yeah,
then why do scientists say that some things are alive and some things are dead?
Right, exactly.
It doesn't make
any sense. Never thought about that.
So if you think about, so I use an example of, okay, let's say there's an iron atom that's in the ground.
Okay.
From a science point of view, and from pretty well most people common sense point of view, that iron atom is dead. So then we dig it up, we grind it up, and we put it in an iron prescription, and a woman comes to the drugstore who's got anemia because she's pregnant.
Okay.
She gets the iron prescription, she swallows the iron. So the iron atom, or a gazillion iron atoms, go down her stomach, through her, into her bloodstream, and after a while, the iron atom is incorporated into a hemoglobin molecule. Now it's part of a woman who's alive, part of a living woman.
Yes.
But if there's no life force allowed, if we just allow what goes on in physics, all that's happened is, obviously that iron atom hasn't suddenly come to life. Because it can't acquire a life force because no life force is allowed. All that's happened is its electron cloud has changed configuration and hooked up with some other electron clouds to form the hemoglobin molecule. And then after about 100 days, white blood cell, red blood cells last about 100 days. So the iron atom is excreted because the hemoglobin is broken down. It goes out in the woman's urine, goes back into the ground. 2,000 years later, it's dug up again, put into another iron prescription, it becomes alive again.
Yes, yes.
So now we've got this iron atom that's born, dying, born, dying, but it can't happen. Scientists don't allow iron atoms to be born and die, be born and die. So if there's no life, mind, soul, spirit, or God in one atom, an iron atom, and iron atoms can't be alive and then be dead, the equation for the amount of life in one iron atom would be 1 times 0 equals 0, because there's no life.
I see.
So if you have two atoms, 2 times 0 is still 0. So if you have a billion, 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 gazillion, quadrillion, that is enough atoms to make a person, the equation is still gazillion times 0 equals 0, because you don't allow any life force in. Therefore, to be logically consistent, you can't say that there's any basic scientific difference between something that's alive and something that's dead.
I see.
So therefore, you're only left with one of two conclusions. We're all dead because everything's dead. Nothing's really alive because you're not allowing any God, soul, life force, or spirit.
Okay.
So no scientist is going to stand up and say, well, I just want to point out that scientifically we're all dead and unconscious, because that's so absurd. You can't get away with saying that.
Yeah.
So then what they do say is, well, there's no life force, There's no fundamental difference in physics between something that's alive and something that's dead. But scientists then start talking about the origin of life on Earth a billion years ago. But how could life have started if it's impossible for any single individual atom to become alive and then die? Mm-hmm. It's a basic contradiction. So you either, from my perspective, you have to be logical and consistent, you have to adopt one of two positions. Either everything is dead and meaningless, which is what science says, or everything's alive.
And interacting and part of the whole.
But then if everything's alive,
yeah,
what do you mean by the word alive? Because obviously there's something different about...
Well, I've made one distinction of what you're getting to here, and it was a distinction of different types of bodies that I did some work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a self-directing body, which would be a human, or
right.
And a non-directing body, which would be that little iron atom. See what I mean?
Well, I kind of agree with that, but the
so the ability to move and change our location denotes a certain motive ability to move and think and interact in a different level than that iron atom.
Right, but then if you follow the logic of mainstream science, though,
okay,
you're still stuck with the problem of, I mean, basically everybody just fudges around it. Is what happens. You're
okay.
Still stuck with the problem of, if you don't allow a life force of any kind,
okay,
how can you say that one thing is alive and another thing is dead?
Okay.
You can't, because it all boils down to these basic fundamental forces of physics.
Okay.
So, to me, the solution to the problem is anything that, whenever you have an electromagnetic field,
okay,
you have life.
Okay.
So life doesn't mean having a biological properties. It doesn't mean being able to move. It doesn't mean having DNA. It doesn't mean anything. It just really means existing. So anytime you have an electromagnetic field, or you have matter, or you have energy, or you have space, you have the property of spirit.
Okay.
So the property of spirit is everywhere all the time. So how you and I use this? This is basically just comes down to...
Well, this is the transformation, see, from matter into energy and back and forth.
But what I'm saying is the property of having spirit,
okay,
that's a general property of matter.
I got you.
So whenever you have matter, or whenever you have energy, or wherever you have time, or wherever you have space, you have spirit, which is this basic thing the religion's saying all the time.
I got you.
And if you don't talk that way, you can't really talk about an origin of life on Earth a billion years ago, because you got this problem of how does an individual atom become alive?
Well, maybe all this light and these ideas, streams of light, maybe when they become associated in the mind in a way that is proper, then they maintain that memory in the most efficient way. And that is spirit.
Right.
But Doctor, certainly appreciate the interview tonight. You're very fascinating. and I really thank you very much, and I'm very honored to have you with us tonight.
Okay. My pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Bye.
Good night. Good night. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening, and God bless everyone out there. We believe in the Spirit.